transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is creating results. And the number to call to get coaching on having what you want, creating results, and thriving in every area of your life, 866-254-1579. That's toll-free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing 001-760-918-4300. And we're going to begin the show, as always, with a little bit of table setting. I want to talk a little bit about this notion of creating results. And I'm going to begin with a sort of a bold statement. And that bold statement is that when it comes to creating results in our lives, most people are pretty much exactly where they ought to be. Let me say that again. When it comes to creating results in our lives, chances are you're pretty much exactly where you ought to be. And what I mean by that is that I've been doing this for 21 years now. And I have rarely seen anyone who consistently outperforms their own efforts. In other words, life is a lot fairer than we like to admit. Having said that, there's a lot more to it than just hard work, than just investing time and energy. Because, look, some people will tell you, and they want to believe, investing time and energy is all it takes to succeed. But they're clearly wrong, because there's plenty of people, you might be one of them, who've worked very hard for a very long time and don't have the level of results to show for it that you would think your hard work would merit. But by the same token, there are a lot of people out there who say that, well, hard work doesn't matter. It's all about energy. It's all about attitude. It's all about flow. And that doesn't really stand up to much scrutiny either. The reason is that in my experience, there isn't one variable that determines the results you create. If there was, we could just focus on that one variable and we'd be golden. And I just said that there wasn't. During the course of today's show, I am going to share one variable that I think is the key variable to how the quality and volume of results that you can produce in your life. And it's not hard work, and it's not being attractive. But it's worth understanding that there are a number of variables that play in to the results that we create. And I'll run through them very quickly, and then we'll go to the phones, we'll take some calls, and then we'll talk more about it in the second half. Numbers to call, 866-254-1579. It's toll-free in the United States and Canada. Outside the U.S., you can reach the show by dialing 760-918-4300. And the first variable is where you're starting. So the level of results that you produce will have a remarkable correlation to where you're starting. You know, Donald Trump has done an amazing job in the real estate markets over time, but he did start with millions in the bank and a lot of real estate. It doesn't mean that lots of people might have started there and not done it. Doesn't mean that he wasn't a key factor. It's not all just down to, well, you got lucky, you won the genetic lottery, you got to start here. But to pretend that it doesn't matter is wrong too. One of the sweetest things my dad ever said to me shortly before he died is we were talking about, I was an actor back then and just struggling to get going. And he said to me, you know, if I could come back and do it again, he was a mechanical engineer. He actually built the legs to the lunar module that landed on the moon. And we had one, a spare one in our garage that we used to hide the spare key under. And he said, if I could come back and do it again, I'd come back as an actor, director, or producer to make it a little easier for you starting out. And I that meant a lot to me, because it meant that he kind of, you know, he had my back. He was in my corner. So one of the variables is where you're starting. Look, if you've never made any money before, it's liable to take you longer to make your first million than somebody who's grown up with money and around money their whole lives. Not a done deal doesn't mean you can't do it. It's just liable to take longer. Now, the second variable is the one that most people would call hard work, but I call it investment of time and energy, because it's not necessarily about hard, but it does take a certain amount of time and a certain amount of investment of energy in order to create stuff in the world. And again, this is one of those variables that it's nice to know that it's a variable. because that one is by and large up to you. If you want to produce results, you're not starting at the end. You're not starting already very close to the finish line. You're going to have to put in the hours. But there's a variable around how enjoyable that process is and what you do with those hours, because all hours are not created equally. And that comes down to the third variable, which is strategy. What strategy are you using to create the results you want to create? And this kind of points to the limitation of effort as a performance variable. Tony Robbins has a great line. If your goal is to see the sunset and you're continually traveling east, you've got a significant challenge. I think that's, you know, it's just a great point. Some strategies are going to lead you to creating the results that you want, and some simply won't. If you look out your window right now, the nearest window for the Eiffel Tower, unless you're one of the people listening to the show in Paris, you're not going to see it. And it doesn't matter how hard you try. Okay, what's the fourth variable? So if one variable is where we start, the starting place. Second variable is you know, how much time and energy are we investing into it? Third variable is the strategy we're using. A fourth variable is what's the relationship between your level of skill and the level of challenge you've taken on? And when it comes to creating results, the arena that you're playing in is as significant a factor as your current level of skill. Some jobs are just harder than others. Some tasks are just more challenging than others. Some fields are more highly competitive than others. And the good news is skills can be developed. But even when you develop your skills to meet the challenges, some challenges are just harder than others. It's going to take longer. There's going to be more of a learning curve. And nothing great is going to happen, even when you develop the skills to meet the challenges, if you're reliant on just your own efforts, your own investment of time and energy. And that's our fifth variable, other people. I don't think it'll come as a surprise to anyone if I say that no worthwhile endeavor was ever achieved without a community, without a team of people who are knowingly or unknowingly involved in assisting and offering support along the way. And we know that. We recognize that. And you know, you learn to play well with others, you're liable to do better in life. You're liable to create better results. But that's not enough. Because even if you're off to a great start, and even if you're putting in the hours, and even if you've got a great strategy, and even if, you know, you've got the kind of the skills that it will take to meet the level of challenge, and even if you've got great support, there's still a random factor. There's still a variable that, you know, we might call, some people would call it luck, some people would call it fate, some people just call it, like I do, the random factor. But there's no doubt, sometimes our best laid plans go astray. And sometimes even the most ill-conceived plan works. Now, here's the thing about the random factor. It's really easy to obsess about why something didn't happen. I remember years ago, back when I was an actor, I was doing an audition class. And the way the audition class worked is they would have us audition against each other. So each week they would pick another play and we'd audition for the play, and they'd split the class in two and they'd pick two classes. And the half that wasn't being cast in the play would do the casting. So, you know, you got a chance to audition and be cast each week. Never actually did the plays. And each week, for first 3, 4, 5 weeks of the class, it came down to me and one other person for the lead, and the other person got it. And I went to the teacher because I was really committed, right? I really wanted it. This really mattered to me. I really knew that this was what I wanted to do. And I, you know, I was in the right place. I put in the time and the energy. I wanted to work on, maybe I thought maybe they could help me with my strategy or my level of skill, or maybe I needed to be more political. And the teacher said, when I said, well, what can I do? You know, what can I do to make sure that I get it? She said, nothing. She said, you're not doing anything wrong. It just hasn't happened yet. And sometimes it's just that simple. The truth is, much as we'd love it to be, it's not just up to us. Now, I'm going to introduce a seventh variable, and then I'm going to go to the phones. Numbers to call, 866-254-1579, or outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. But I want to introduce this notion of a seventh variable, what I call the master variable. And I'm going to introduce it this way, and then I'm going to talk about it in the second half of the show. So just imagine this scenario. Okay, you wake up in the morning and you're feeling a little bit tired, you know, and you know, before you leave to work, your partner reminds you that you agreed to take the kids to practice and rehearsal after school. Okay. And you're pretty sure you never actually even had that conversation, let alone agreed to it. But, you know, you're smart enough not to say that out loud. So, you know, you go to work, and as soon as you log on to your email at work, you're faced with three urgent messages about three critical projects, and they are all saying strategic decisions have to be made before the end of the day, if not sooner. And you look at your calendar, and your schedule's full, and you realize that you're going to need to stay at work until nearly midnight to get everything done, even if you don't have to leave in the middle of the afternoon to chauffeur your kids. How are you going to handle that situation? What's going to be the key variable that's going to have the most impact on how your day goes, on how much work gets done, which decisions get made, how high quality those decisions are, you know, whether your relationships are better or worse at the end of the day than they were when you started? Is it going to be how many times you've been in a situation like that in the past? You know, how close to the, you know, where you're starting? Is it going to be how hard you're willing to work? Is it going to be the time management strategies you apply that's going to determine the results you produce? Is it going to be just how good you are at your job or your people skills or luck, or is it something different? And I'm tell you right now, I'm going to suggest it's something different. And we're going to talk about that something different, about that key results creating variable in the second half of the show. But for now, let's go to the phones and let's begin in Orange, California with Jill. Jill, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
I'm in the middle of a career switch or change, and I've always done extremely well in sales, but at this time, and I've always found it very easy to get a job at this time with the economy, and you know, I've been on a lot of interviews, I've applied to a lot of different sales jobs, and for whatever reason, it's just not happening, and mm-hmm. it's really discouraging. So just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that and if you had any words of wisdom.
Oh, let's find out. One thing that occurs to me, and it's just, you know, I'm, you know, were you online to hear the story of me auditioning?
Yes.
So one thing to just be aware of is it may not be you. Now that's good news and bad news, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good news because at least you don't have to feel bad about it, but it's bad news because it means there's nothing you can do. But one of the things that understanding that will allow you to do is it will free you up to only focus on the things that you actually have any control over. So in the Olympics, in the Atlanta Olympics, I think was when the interview happened, the U.S. rowing team was interviewed. And every time they were asked questions about the other teams or about the weather or about the water conditions on the day, they would answer, "That's outside our boat." And that's it. They wouldn't give any thought to anything that was outside their boat that wasn't directly to do with how they showed up and what they did when they showed up. And that sort of, I suspect it may not be true for you, but most people I talk to who are really trying their best to create new work in this economy are spending a lot of time on stuff that's outside their boat. Is that true for you?
Yeah. Well, and I feel like if I don't, I'm not doing my job.
Right. Because you're unemployed, so at least you need to have a job worrying about it.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, I need a job. I have a house payment and bills like everybody else. So I guess what you're saying is letting go of the things we can't control.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the reasons that wisdom becomes trite is it's true. So, you know, we've probably all heard that before, let go of the things you can't control. But if you stop to think about it, and you don't hear it as a cliche or a poster quote from Facebook, but you actually just think about it, it's like, that's probably a pretty good idea. So just very quickly, because we won't, you know, we won't go all the way into it, but what are three things that you've been spending time on that actually you've got no control over where it goes?
Um, Well, the interviews that I've been on, I just try to think positive thoughts, and that, you know, I did the best of my ability in the interviewing process, and hoping and praying that they pick me. And, you know, it comes down to the last few candidates, and I'm not the one that they've picked.
So, right. So after they've not picked you, how much time do you spend on that interview in your head?
I move on because I frantically start applying for jobs again.
Okay, great. So you've that one you get, that's outside your boat. Like, yeah. I'm gonna stop praying after it's done.
Yeah, it took me a while, and you know, then I'd get all depressed, and you know, it takes me a little bit of time to get over it. But now you just move on and move forward and do what you need to do.
So I'm gonna shoot one other thing your way. Actually, I'm gonna interrupt my own question. And here's, I'm going to do a show over the next few weeks on being becoming discouragement proof. But let me give you a sort of a sneak preview, because one of the things that makes us more discouragement proof is recognizing that while we're not driving the bus, like we're not in charge, damn it, of how things turn out, we are tapped into an incredible creative resource at all times.
Meaning the God?
Yeah, that'll do. Sure. God, you know, God, universal mind, the higher, deeper self. I don't know what it is, but I mean, any one of those words work for me. And that there is an unfolding in life. And if we think we've got to figure it out with our little brain, that we've got to work it all out and make it happen, we are going to struggle. I'm not saying we can't sometimes succeed, but we are going to struggle.
So it's kind of letting the go of the control of it. And I'm working on that process, I guess, because some days are better than others.
Sure. And here's what makes it easier, Jill, in my experience, is the more you recognize the difference between letting go of control that you don't have anyway, so it's just letting go of the illusion of control.
That's good. I like that.
and letting go of action. You can, you know, I once had a woman phone into the show, and she wanted to become a professional bowler. And the show was, we were doing a show that day on letting go. And I remember asking her, well, you know, she said her big obstacle was that nobody supported her. And I said, well, if everyone supported you, what would you do? And she said, well, I'd apply. So there's a difference between letting go of trying to make something happen that isn't up to you to make happen and not putting in the hours. So you don't have to give up on showing up, but you also don't have to do anything more than that.
So I don't need to stress about it. Just let go and let be what will be, but do the steps necessary to get my resume out there.
Right. And so what you wind up with is high involvement, low investment. So you become more discouragement proof because you're not putting your emotional well-being on the line each time. You're just showing up, doing what you know to do, and moving on to the next one.
So don't get all depressed. And I mean, it's way easier said than done, but I guess it's just practice.
Well, it's, you know what, it's actually in some ways, in my experience, easier done than said. Because when you think about it too much, it all becomes crazy. It's like, oh my God, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. But the reality is, other than getting your resume together, tuning into your creativity, coming up with a good cover letter, showing up and being really present in the interview in the best place you know how to be, that's your job. That's your only job.
So the universe and other sources will move me to where I need to go and be and get the job that I'm supposed to get?
Well, let me put it a different way. Your worrying about it won't.
Okay. I agree.
So whether or not, and I'm kind of saying this for somebody listening who doesn't necessarily believe that there's a higher power guiding our lives, but whether or not there is, you aren't going to do it. So you may as well get that energy back Because, look, if nothing else, you show up refreshed because you're not stressing yourself. You're going to do better, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jill. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pleasure. You know, and it's really interesting because a lot of the stuff that Jill and I were just talking about, it sounds so common sense and, oh, yeah, I've heard that. Oh, yeah, I know I shouldn't do it. But I'll tell you, in my experience, the only reason that people struggle to stop worrying is because they really believe at some level that worrying helps. They really believe that at some level, if they can just worry right or worry enough, that's going to keep them on track. That's going to motivate them. That's going to encourage the universe to move in their direction. I have seen no evidence in 21 years of working with people that worry does anything to move you forward. And I can show you a ton of evidence about what it does to hold you back. Let's go up to Seattle, Washington, and let's talk to Suki. Suki, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, I heard create results, and something in me just was like, dial now. I have been a freelance writer for 30 years. And a few years ago, I took time off to write a manuscript of my own, which is dear to my heart. And it was sent out a few times and got good feedback, not picked up. And then I set it aside for a while for a number of reasons. And I returned to freelancing for financial reasons. And then suddenly the last few months, it's always been haunting me. I returned to the manuscript and like made a run at kind of, you know, like redoing the last chapter. And what happens is that I start to make a run at it, and I think, you know, yes, you're writing every day, and you're going to pull this together, and you're going to get it out there. And then a piece of client work comes up, and I have discovered over the years that I can't really write for clients in their voices and do my own work simultaneously. And, of course, you know, like everyone, I have bills, and I'm living on a pretty frugal budget.
So what's the question, Suki? What would be great?
The question is, you know, I think I'm calling because I'm hoping to get a rational push when it comes to risk reward.
Mm-hmm.
That you will ask me just a question or two that will make me think, well, why not? What is the worst that can happen? What if it takes me 4 or 5 months to just really pull the manuscript together and get it out there and sell it as hard as I can? And, you know, part of me is, you know, envisioning myself walking everywhere and eating ramen for the rest of my life.
So you're talking to the wrong guy because I love ramen. I had it last night. But, you know, but other than that, so Suki, here's a very wise question for you. What is the worst that could happen?
The worst that could happen is, I think that, oh my gosh, that I go into irretrievable debt.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm.
Why would you do that?
Why would I do that?
Like if you don't want to go into irretrievable debt, why would you?
Because I would not be doing any client work.
Well, but why wouldn't you go back to doing, even if you took a break from client work to launch this, when it got to the point where the only way if it didn't work in the time frame you'd given yourself, why wouldn't you go back to doing client work before you started creating irretrievable debt?
You know, that is really an excellent question. And I think, you know, now that you've asked it, I think my ego's involved. It's like, if I can't get this manuscript out there and get someone really interested in it in 4 or 5 months, will I just be so dejected by this that I'll just curl up in a ball?
Absolutely. Look, anytime somebody has an all or nothing, once and for all, I'm going to burn the boats, there's ego involved. Because
because
the reason that Cortez burned the boats is because the soldiers didn't want to go forward. It wasn't a suggestion as a strategy for our life. It was a way of forcing people who didn't want to do something to do it.
Right.
And I would never suggest to anyone that they treat themselves as poorly as a 16th century army general treated his army. All right, Suki, thank you for calling in. We are going to be back with more of your calls and also with that seventh key variable to creating results right after this short break. Two, three, hit it.
strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about creating results. And I'm going to go back to the phones in just a minute. And then before the end of this segment, I'm going to take some time to go through this this variable I've been teasing. I talked about the sort of different variables that determine how we create our results. And I'm going to talk about a variable that I think really is the difference maker in the last part of the show. Just before I go back to the phones, if you like the kinds of things we talk about on the show, please come to my website, supercoach.com. You can read my new blog. Some of you have already done that and have been writing some very nice things. You can find the new blog at supercoach.com/blog. And just a new post just went up called The Creativity Factory. And there was one earlier this week on an end to writer's block. We've had one on Does God Want You to Be Rich? And all sorts of things. So you can find those at supercoach.com/blog. And you can also just follow me on Twitter at Michael_Neal. And let's go out to Phoenix and let's speak with Nancy. Nancy, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. It's a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I really appreciated what you were saying to the previous callers. I feel like part of my issue is I don't have enough support and I'm trying to do everything on my own, and I am definitely playing source or higher power. So part of my question was answered. But I'm trying to make a decision. I have a successful practice here, and I've been offered an opportunity to have a little bit less stress and work for a company that I'm not 100% in alignment with, but mm-hmm. it has enough of attraction where it could be definite potential. There's a lot of issues as far as relocating and all the little details that are overwhelming me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling in like a half an hour for my decision.
Cool. Real-time coaching. I like it.
Nah. I think I want to say no, but I don't want to say no because of fear and because I have like these little roadblocks.
Sure. Sure. So let me put something out to you. Let me put a notion out. So a friend of mine, Dr. George Pernesky, has a distinction he calls no fun, some fun, all fun. And there are people who will find a way to make anything miserable. They're the no fun people. There are people who, if they can find a circumstance that aligns with the way they think their life should be, it kind of fits their ego picture of how life should be, then they'll enjoy it. And if it doesn't fit with that, then they won't enjoy it. So they have some fun. All fun people are people who recognize that our experience is 100% created from the inside out. In other words, we are living in the feeling of our thinking. So the only thing that can take me up is my thinking, and the only thing that can take me down is my thinking. Not my job, not anything else. Does that make sense as a basic?
Yeah, you're good. Yes.
So... go ahead. I was going to ask you another question, but it sounds like you've answered it.
Your intuition and I think highly of you. Go ahead.
Okay. So my question would be, if it didn't matter which job you took, because you were going to find a way to have a great experience wherever you are, would you want to take this job?
No.
Okay. Well. That there you go.
Yeah. Wow. That was pretty cool.
Beautiful, Nancy. Thanks for calling.
Thanks so much for all you do.
You bet. Bye. You know, and often it is that simple. We the reason we struggle with decisions, there's a couple of reasons, one of which we're going to talk about a little later in this segment, which is to do with where our head is at when we try to make the decision. But it's often because we just get caught up in thinking that it's the decision or the fruit of the decision that's going to determine the quality of our life going forward. And it's never the decision, the fruit of our decision that determines the quality of our life, because the quality of our life is the quality of our experience, and the quality of our experience is a direct reflection of the quality of our thinking, moment by moment by moment. Let's go out to College Station, Texas, and let's talk to Allison. Allison, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Oh, yeah. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Actually, I just started an online business that I'm very, very passionate about, and it was launched on the 22nd, so it's a month old today.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. However, happy birthday.
Thank you. However, the problem is I'm doing, everything that you're supposed to do. I've built this from the ground up. I'm blogging. I, of course, do advertising. I did hire a very inexpensive marketing team to do AdWords for me, but they're not really doing what they're supposed to do. But anyway, getting a little distraught because I've still yet to get a sale. I have a lot of visitors. I have what we call abandoned carts, which is always a good sign. Apparently there's a ratio to that. And, you know, it's a learning experience. It's the first time I've built a website from the ground up, and I'm very passionate about it. I love what I'm promoting, and it's about beach and nautical decor. It's a little higher end, and even promoting, for rehabilitation for different sea life animals each month.
I'm losing the plot a little bit here, Austin. What would be the most useful thing that could come to you from our time together right now?
Basically, I guess I'm almost at a stalemate here. I don't want to quit. I want to move forward, and looking for advice or.
Let's look at it through the filter of what we're talking about on the show today. The sort of variables that impact our results. One is is where we start, right? Somebody who starts in any business, if they've already had a bunch of businesses, if they've got capital behind them, if they have a lot of connections in the relevant fields, they're just going to produce results quicker than someone who isn't.
Right.
But you can't do anything about starting place, so you start where you start. Time and energy. So, 10 would be you're putting in all the hours God sends. And I'm not saying that's a great strategy, but, one would be I wouldn't even know you had this business if I followed you around with a video camera for a day. You're somewhere on that scale. And I'm going to guess, I have a guess as my to answer to this question, but do you think it could be as simple as putting in more hours?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. You don't sound like somebody who that's the issue. Okay, so then the third thing, strategy. Right? Is the strategy that you're using working? Or do you think that as your best, when you're in your clearest state of mind and you look at this strategy, is this a strategy that's designed to start bringing in sales in the short term? Would you bet on it as a neutral observer?
I would say, that's actually a yes and no answer. I adjust my strategy. Constantly, but blogging has been my number one focus probably for the last week and a half due to it's free, for one thing, and it reaches more people. I get to say more than just in an ad word. So the strategies are constantly changing.
In and of itself, that strategy of constantly changing strategies might not be a great strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing gets time to get traction.
Right.
So again, I don't know enough about your business to give you that kind of advice, but that is a strategy in and of itself, changing strategies round and round. What about other people? Do you have people supporting you in this that you're really delighted that they're the ones supporting you?
No, actually I'm kind of in this all by myself other than my web host.
So that's one of the key factors in how things go. So that's something to look at. Are there skill sets that you don't currently have that are necessary to run this business?
Absolutely. Marketing is a big one. Creativity is not a problem. I'm incredibly creative, but marketing is a big one for online. Marketing.
Sure. So there's a chance to do two things there. There's a chance to jump onto the learning curve and really begin to develop your level of skill there. And there's a chance to bring people in who already have that level of skill to support you.
Right.
And then that sixth variable you can't do anything about again is the random factor. Sometimes best plan, hardest work, best people, great strategy, doesn't work. But I certainly wouldn't resign myself to that until I had 10 out of 10 and everything else.
Okay. Okay. That's great advice. Yeah. It's just, you know, there again, because I am kind of in this all by myself, it's, you know. It's,
well, so I'm going to say something, really, though, that you've said that a couple times, and I'm going to put it to you that that's a choice. You don't have to be in this all by yourself. And it's a story that the way you're saying it, and I may be completely wrong. Please, please, please. I trust that people listen to the show often enough to know that I'm not a complete jerk. Right. So I don't just say mean things, but it strikes me that it's almost a point of pride. I'm in this on my own. I've got to do this on my own. If I succeed, it'll be because I did it. Well, that's not my experience of life. I can't have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without 500 people having supported me, most of whom I will never know about or meet.
Right.
So if you are open to a possibility of thinking that you are already being supported by an army of people who have not only created the equipment that you work on, but are servicing it and are running the networks that you're doing your stuff on, you're already part of a huge web of support. And if you just introduce a few more key people into that web, you may find that that makes all the difference in the world.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Allison.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And I just, we just get this idea, and it's a cultural myth. It's one of the seven myths of success. If you're part of the Genius Catalyst Cafe at supercoach.com, you get a free set of CDs. Actually, they're online now, so they're MP3s, called The Seven Myths of Success. And one of the myths is the myth of self-sufficiency. The idea that we can and should do it on our own. Sort of an American, particularly American myth, though it is around the world as well, is that, you know, if it's to be, it's up to me. You know, I can do anything I put my mind to. I'm not aware in the real world of anyone who has achieved any modicum of lasting, sustainable success trying to do it by themselves. And in fact, the people I know, and I work with a lot of very successful people who are most successful, are the ones who have the most brilliant people around them. And the reason the brilliant people are willing to work with them is because they take the time to really support those people and to really value them and appreciate them and encourage them in their own endeavors. And that's how you create a team. All right, we're going to get at least one more in. We might get two. So Linda, you're next. Giselle, I'm going to try and get to you as well. Linda in Albany, welcome to the show. What should we talk about today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I've been doing a lot. I like what you said about sometimes that seven variable, it just didn't happen for you yet.
Mm-hmm.
I relocated from New York City, and I've been trying and trying and trying to make my way and put my niche in a new environment. And it looks like nothing absolutely is happening, and I've gotten very discouraged by hearing you're overqualified, that kind of thing, or, you know, why didn't you move somewhere else? I've never heard of such a thing on an interview. So I've gotten totally discouraged. I'm always looking for a better job. You know, I have a part-time right now, which I need a full-time. It's important. But I heard no so much, so often, so many rejections. So now, how do I move forward past that? Fear has really set in, and
yeah,
that has never been me in all my entire life. I've always been, oh, you know, you trip, you get up, and I go further. And this time, it's like it knocked me down and slapped me, and I'm like, I'm frozen, yeah, and I need to move forward. I really want to.
Absolutely. I hear you, Linda. So here's a visual for you. So imagine you're flowing down a river. And, you know, you can see that there's sort of little eddies in the river, like little whirlpools.
Mm-hmm.
And you know if you get caught up in one of those, you're going to be in there for a little while. But you also know that the nature of an eddy is you get spit out because it's all water, you know. And then, you know, a bunch of stuff goes on and you're pretty good at navigating that river. But just you get distracted for a minute you go through a bit of the river where there's a lot of those eddies, and you get into one, and your boat's spinning, and it's been so long since you've been caught in one that mm-hmm. you forget that there's nothing to do when you're in an eddy but wait until it spits you out.
Mm.
And that, in fact, everything you do to try and get out just exhausts you.
Mm. Yes.
Well, that's all that's happened. And you know what? The second you stop fighting it, you're going to get your energy back. And the natural flow of fresh, new, inspired thinking is going to come back into your head. And you're going to move forward and you're going to find the next thing.
Okay.
You know, I don't remember. There's a beautiful quote that begins something like, "The race does not always go to the swiftest."
Mm-hmm.
And in certain endeavors, your willingness to just keep going, and not like The Walking Dead, keep going, you know, right. But to keep going with absolutely with that connection to your own inspired self and your own inspired thought. It takes you there. And yeah, there are eddies. You get caught up. We all get caught up in our thinking from time to time. And all that fear means, all that discouragement means, all that hopelessness even means, is you're caught up in one of those thought eddies. You're just caught up. And it's like a riptide. I was reading a story about a surfer and, who survived this huge riptide off the coast of Australia. And he said, well, the thing I remembered is what they taught us is if you try and fight a riptide, you will drown because it will take all your strength. But if you let the riptide carry you, it'll spit you out the other side. And then you can just swim around it.
Mm. Okay. Wow. Okay.
All right. Thank you for phoning, Linda.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Let's try and sneak one more in if we can. Well, let's go back to New York and to Giselle. Giselle, thank you for holding. What would you like to talk about today?
Hi. So I'm calling because, first of all, I was like really kind of pulled to you and Super Coach, the book and all of that. So I've been devouring that information. I have, I'm trying to establish a coaching business, and I am doing my second class. The first class I had maybe around 10 students. This time I have about 6. I just put it out last week. And I also have 2 people who contacted me for one-on-one coaching. My question is that I don't really know how to go forward. Like, I haven't even responded to the 2 people that emailed me for one-on-one coaching because I don't even know what to say to them. And I know that you have a coaching course, but I think you're doing the last one this year. So I don't know what else can I do to kind of, get more information and educate myself so I can have a successful business, because I won't be able to attend your last class.
Sure. Well, so look, let's do 2 things. So the easy one is hold on after we get off the air.
Okay.
And give your contact information to Joe, and he'll get it to me, and I'll have Terry get in touch with you, and we can sort of answer some questions that way. So just in terms of the practical. So do hold on after we're done. The one thing that I'll say here, and I say it to all the coaches that I train, is, you know, yeah, there are some practical things to learn, and it sounds like there's just some basics that once you see how people do it, you'll go, oh, okay, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as mysterious as it looks. But the number one way I know to build a successful coaching business is to become a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my friend Steve Chandler calls it Lazarus marketing. You only have to bring one person back from the dead and they'll talk about you forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, so please do hang on. We're going to put you on hold. Joe will take your details. We'll get in touch with you and hopefully we can answer some of your questions because they sound like they're probably pretty straightforward things.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, Giselle. Thank you. Okay. So let me finish what I started. So I talk about these variables at the beginning of the show, that, you know, the 6 variables that impact the level of result we produce: starting place, investment of time and energy, strategy, level of skill to level of challenge, other people, and the random factor. Well, there's a 7th variable. And as I said, I call it the master variable, and it's the variable of state of mind. And there's 3 things that I know about the impact of state of mind that guide me in my own work. And one is that in a low quality state of mind, I'm likely to turn everything that happens into a crisis. you know, my partner and I are going to get all over each other. We're going to get into fights about the kids. I'll get into fights with the kids. You know, in that scenario I mentioned earlier where your day just kind of stretched out, you know, your work colleagues become the villains and you try to play the hero and you work all the hours God sends and you can't understand why you're surrounded by so many incompetent people and your life sucks and maybe it's time to get a divorce and a new job. But in a high-quality state of mind, in the same scenario, you take things in your stride and you handle them as best you can. And you know that your partner's only upset because their state of mind's gone south and you're not even going to spend any thought on that because you know they'll feel differently later in the day. And you recognize the urgency in the emails that you get is just people feeling insecure, and you can take a clear look and see which projects really need to be acted on and which ones will keep. And you don't know what to do about the kids, but you don't have to force it. You know that you can kind of elevate that to the back burner, and at some point you'll figure out what to do. And you know, at its simplest level, you don't have to push the river. All you can do for now is all you can do for now. And you don't put any additional pressure or stress on yourself to play God or superhero or whatever it is that you would do. And the key to understanding the variable of state of mind is to understand the nature of our states of mind. And part of their nature is we don't control them. We don't control our state of mind. We can't make ourselves happy or sad on demand with any regularity. But we don't have to, because our state of mind is naturally buoyant. It's self-regulating. As one of my colleagues, Dr. Keith Blevin, says, we've all got cork in our butts, and we naturally float to the surface. Our well-being will naturally come up. Our clarity will naturally return. We will naturally float up back to that place of clarity, insight, and well-being. So if our state of mind is low, we kind of give it some space as best we can. We don't, you know, wrong week to make the big decision. When it's high, we take advantage of that. We move forward, and we often can get more done in a high state of mind than we would have done if we tried to space it out. And I'm going to do a little bit each day, no matter what my state of mind, sort of like doing state of mind cost averaging for any investors who ever did dollar cost averaging. But as you understand it more, you can really see the impact of your state of mind and how little you need to do to make a huge difference in your life. So if I was going to sum up, there are multiple variables that determine the results you produce in your life. And most of those variables are actually outside of your control. They're outside of your boat. But the most highly leveraged variable is state of mind, your level of understanding of the workings and the effects of healthy psychological functioning on any result-producing activity that you're going to engage in. And when you understand that, you can put your attention on state of mind and the task at hand, and allow your innate wisdom, the incredible intelligence behind your personal thinking, to take care of the rest. And it will guide you every step of the way. And you will adapt more quickly to the realities of a situation. And you'll recognize that people live in fluctuating states of mind, so you'll be able to communicate more effectively. And you won't get caught up so much in trying to control the uncontrollable and cleaning up the mess that you made the last time you were in a low state of mind. And ultimately, you even recognize that living in the unknown is our natural state. And you don't have to spend a lot of time trying to control the random wheel of fate. So I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you do, please check out my new blog, supercoach.com/blog. And also, you can follow me on Twitter, Michael_Neal. Like me on Facebook @MichaelNeal. And until next week, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.